This is exactly right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
Karen is currently, and I'm not kidding, crimping her eyelashes.
Curling
them with one of those Clockwork Orange keep me up all night to watch horrible things so I can rehabilitate scissors. They have scissors as the handle. I have tried them before. I had an older sister. And I found that if they don't have the little rubber gasket on them, they will pinch your lid to the point of bleeding.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You pranked yourself.
I mean, who knows where I'd be today, gender-wise and pronoun-wise, had I not been
scared
painfully
off.
Pinched in the eyelid. I'm like, you know what? This drag thing isn't for me. That hurt like hell.
It is hard to be a woman. We all know that. But I mean, some people don't realize. My cousin Lisa used to she'd put on mascara and then separate her eyelashes with a needle so that it would, you know, because it was clumpy.
This was
back in the late 70s where there was really no advancements in female mascara. And it'd get very clumpy. So she'd go back over it with a needle.
People say stick a needle in my eye because they know that will never happen because a needle is never near your eye. However, Lisa,
who didn't mind a drug.
That was scary.
Yeah, that person
should not have stopped in the road.
You know, I think people buy Jettas and they think, hey, I'm going to really go for it on Sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad bought me this Jetta. It's all going to be different now.
Someone did a song called All My Ex-Girlfriends Drive Black Jettas. Black Jettas. I don't remember. We'll find out.
A Dead Milkman type of band?
It sounds milkmany because it's about a car and pop girls.
It has a story. Yeah, there's a storyline.
It may have been. You might be right.
God, I'd love
to. Let
if
us
I
know
was right.
If you remember.
Or if you're a Dead Milkman, we'd love to hear from you.
And I guess this is something we should do right at the start. Karen,
yes.
I don't know if you know this, but we have a sponsor for this episode.
Oh, and this is real.
This is a real thing. This
we have
isn't
a real
like,
sponsor.
Haha, we're driving by Taco Bell. Taco Bell, we give you diarrhea and do you need a ride? I could have come up with a better one if Taco Bell was a real sponsor.
And would have, happily.
I would have, yeah. You know what I'll do for money.
Oh, just yeah.
About everything.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to get the motivation to look for a sponsor or look, you know, turn this into a business if you haven't had a decent night's sleep. But the good people at Parachute Home have given me the best sheets that I think I've ever worn. And
really?
I wear them on my mattress, but you kind of are wearing them as you sleep.
The
Parachute, and they're made in Venice, where I live. I've been wanting to look around to see if the building is nearby me.
Oh, they're local?
They are local.
That's cool.
And, you know, they... Because great sleep, Karen, I don't know if you know this, starts with the sheets. And Parachute has created a line of everyday bedding essentials, from sheets to duvet comforters, to give you superior sleep.
Nice.
And here's the thing about the stuff they sent me. It was, like, in a nice arrangement. I opened the box, and it was, like, it was as if a cook at a 4-star restaurant had arranged everything.
Ooh.
And it was all tied with twine, and there was a little letter handwritten that said, thank you, personally. It was really nice. And, you know, the bedding's made of 100% long staple Egyptian cotton.
Ooh, that's the good stuff.
Hey, it's manufactured in a mill in Tuscany. That sounds
Tuscany,
made up.
In Tuscany, Italy?
Yes. Weaving bedding for nearly 80 years, this mill. It's probably been around forever. And then shipped straight to your door. And it did come right to my door. Parachute cuts out the licensing and the distribution fees so you can experience high-quality bedding for less. And if you mention... This is kind of cool. If you mention... go to ParachuteHome.com/ride. Use the promo code RIDE. And Parachute will give you $25 off on your first order.
Holy shit.
By mentioning what
I
just said.
Our podcast.
Yeah.
Ride.
We're paying you to listen to us, basically.
That's kind of awesome. I'm going to get those sheets, right?
While you sleep. The only other way to get paid while you sleep is to knock out your teeth and put them under your pillow.
Or to be a whore.
Or to be some sort of a licensed whore.
Sleeping whore. So you've received them. I'm going to get mine, and then we're gonna sleep on them, and then we're gonna come back with the results.
I've already. They feel great. Like a lot of times, there's a man in the road, but he's limping. A lot of times, you know, people talk about thread count.
Yes, that's very important.
Apparently it isn't. It's a marketing gimmick.
Is that true?
You can read about it at Parachute's blog.
Oh, okay.
And they tell you about thread count not necessarily being... Because I've bought high thread count sheets, and they were like silk underwear or something. I thought they were going to rip. They weren't high quality.
Oh,
but these
so it's
sheets
more about
are,
the cotton that you're using.
It is more about the cotton. And if you can get it out of Tuscany...
Come on.
Go to Parachute.com.
I love it.
Mention RIDE. And,
cool.
Sponsor.
We've got a sponsor. I'm so excited.
I mean, I'd like to think what I just did will entice them to, you know, continue to sponsor D&E RIDE.
I think it was pretty good. For the first time ever doing an ad, it was pretty good.
Here's the thing. I wanted it to be the first commercial on our podcast to seem conversational.
Right.
I don't think believe it or not, and you know because you were sitting here, I was reading all that. That was not memorized. And I know it seemed like it was just coming out of my mouth. But that was all information.
Amazing. You did a pretty great job.
But they are, they're very nice. They're very nice sheets.
I love a nice sheet. I mean, it is... it's all about that.
Prior to this, because they look flashy, I bought some off-brand at Ross. You know, don't get bedding just because it looks shiny. I got some silk or satin sheets because they were silver. And I get in bed, I slide right off the other end.
Because they were silver.
They're so slippery. What? I put my head, I'm like, this will keep my hair. You know, I like to put my hair up in curlers. My head just slides off the pillow. I'm risking neck injury.
Yes, don't do that.
No, you won't get that with Parachute.
Awesome. All right.
So.
Beautiful.
I'm very excited.
I am too. I think we're a real podcast now.
And and I'm a real grown-up because I usually, you know, sheets are one of the last things I think about. But it makes such a huge difference when you're sleeping for that comfort to be there. Okay,
I think you've given them everything.
Well, now I'm just talking on my own behalf about my sleep cycle.
Well, stop it.
Sleep cycle is also an app. You put it on your bed. They let you know when you're in REM state.
And while we're at it, what's your sleep number?
Well, you know how I like to jump on the bed while my lady friend drinks wine.
Oh, shit, I can't go this way.
Oh, God.
That'll get me into some weird spot, won't it?
Yeah.
Ah, fuckers, it was.
Nope, you're doing fine. That was how you get to Dodger Stadium.
Guys, we're on the 5 South right now, and there's just a lot of choices. Because they're trying to get to Johnny Pemberton's house.
Yeah, we are going to pick up Johnny Pemberton. I'm very excited to have him on the podcast. I've been wanting him on the podcast. Because he just is
the
hilarious.
Best.
He's the best. He's
so
a sweet
funny.
Guy. And he... Have you seen him host with Josh Fadem, that show?
I haven't.
It's the best.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was just doing it with his voice, but he had like a little modifier, and he does this grizzled cowboy ex-country star.
Oh, yeah?
And I watched the whole show, I'm like, whoever that is, he's hilarious. I didn't know it was Johnny, he had sunglasses on. So I know now that just hearing the tone of his voice isn't dependent on his comedy.
Well, I personally love Johnny Pemberton because... before I met him in real life, I saw him in movies, and he usually plays a kid or like a high school student or something.
He's a person that looks younger than his age.
He looks very young.
Like
me,
you were probably going to say.
A lot like he's a Fairbanks.
Yeah, he's kind of that
God,
Fairbanks young guy.
I just want to get off this GD freeway.
Oh, gee, damn it.
Priestess Christ.
Oh, Judas.
Okay, here we go.
Priest.
But, when you meet him in real life, he's incredibly intelligent and very mature. It's not like he's like some kid-like person.
He comes from
now we're on another freeway.
Family.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
His father's a famous doctor.
His father helped me. I had some bowel issues. I don't want to go into detail, but it was scary what was happening. And talked to him on the phone. He connected me with his dad. The dad said, don't worry, see this guy. I went to saw his friend. That guy was a doctor also, luckily.
Thank God.
And he looked in there and said, you're fine. You just got some fissures and fistulas and, you know, stuff like that. That's what's causing the bleeding.
I think
you're
you have gone into
dying.
Detail about this before.
Well, you know, I wasn't gonna. And then once I go there.
Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah. Once...
Sorry, I have to get back to
it. It's quite.
Let's get back to where we were supposed to go.
Yes, he said, take your time. So I think
we
got a green light here. Sorry, I'm sorry. I won't do that.
No, that's
anymore.
Okay.
Well, it seemed kind of passive.
wait, I just have to look at this map.
Oh, of course.
But anyway, and he also has his own podcast called Twisting in the Wind.
I want to. Oh, do you promise me we're going to drive on the sidewalk here? We're on the sidewalk now.
Do you want to drive down the sidewalk a little bit?
Well, if we just go between those poles, I'll think you're pretty badass.
Okay, but I have to jump back on the 5, and then I just need to find what my exit is, and we'll be all set.
We're taking Johnny tonight to a show at the UCB Sunset, the new UCB Theater. You're also on the program.
I am.
If I'm not mistaken. I was asked to be on it. Did you know that?
No.
And I did not reply because I'm a poor businessman.
Yeah.
But maybe I can get on. What if we're all on the show?
I bet you could. Well, I do that all the time. I'm the worst.
Yeah, I actually got booked for the future, a future date.
Whoa.
That's okay.
I think that was an undercover cop that just passed us.
Yeah, well.
Because I was going to do a full-on U-turn right in front of his face.
Right. No, they don't like that.
No.
Not when you're all blatant about it.
Mm-mm.
At least, honestly, I think the police do appreciate it when you try and do things when they're not looking.
Yeah. Like, just don't get us involved.
I've had enough cops stop and go, you had to do that right in front of me. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Can you hold this water pipe?
Be cool, man.
Hey, cop, do you vape?
I had a friend... whose brothers got pulled over. It was 5 guys in a car, and they were smoking a bong in the car. This was like 10, 15 years ago. The Arabia Brothers. wonderful men.
Great album.
Really love them. But they were doing that, and a cop pulled them over. The guy says, give me that bong. He takes the bong back to his car. Him and his partner rip some bong hits.
No way.
And then they come back to the car and say, don't do that anymore.
What city was this?
I think San Diego, because that's where CJ's from. It was CJ Arabia's brothers.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I love that story.
And they watched them do the bong rips?
Yes. They all thought they were getting arrested. They were like, freaking out.
Oh, that's amazing.
And instead, the cops were like, we'll get high too, and then let's just all walk away.
And then, I wonder if cops get high, and then they get paranoid and start to think that regular people are cops.
Or that they're going to turn, their partners are going to turn on them and arrest them.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Because that's what happens to me.
Yeah. Everyone's a cop.
Everyone is a cop. Everyone's out to get me. I wonder what my bank account is doing, that kind of thing. I got to loosen up. Maybe it's, I'm hitting the sativa. I should be hitting an indica.
Well, I think, though, I had to do the exact same thing as stop smoking because everything just became very doom and gloom. It was like, I have plenty to stress out about, but even when I wasn't like, didn't have something to actively stress out about, it was just like, it's all bad. You know what I mean? Like, it just left me, that's the paranoia part.
Yeah. And it hits you all of a sudden. Like I've had a summer where I'm like, I could get into this. This is healthier than being a drunk person.
Yeah.
It helps you be creative. But it's pretty stifling for me to just get scared about life and my breathing. Which is what happens.
Exactly.
Is this normal breathing? Is my neck closing in on my esophages?
Yep. Is this how I really die? I remember one time playing dominoes with Jeremy Kramer. Did you ever do comedy with Jeremy Kramer?
I remember Jeremy Kramer.
He's a San Francisco legend. He's one of the funniest people that's ever lived.
When I first met you, and comedy was happening in a laundromat, Jeremy Kramer was there.
Oh, yes.
And I was with Howard Kramer, and immediately I was like, man, this Los Angeles city is going to be confusing. There's multiple Kramers.
There's so many Kramers. I was playing dominoes with him one time and took too many hits of pot and thought I was having a heart attack, and at one point just looked at him and said, I think something's wrong. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he just looked at me and goes, do you want me to take you to the emergency room? I was like, oh, you're right, no.
Oh, that's terrific.
It was the perfect, like, I mean, that's all you need.
That's the only thing that'll kick you out of paranoia is a condescending tone.
Yes.
Oh, do you want me to call the wambulance? Yeah, it's hard to know where we are at.
I know. Well, you know what it is? It's like Johnny lives under 5 different freeways. So,
yeah.
But we're very close.
We are very close.
Close indeed. Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at the apparatus here.
How's your apparatus?
It's low on battery. I thought I put in new batteries last time. Oh, there's so much to remember, just in life.
No, I know. Believe me.
There's not enough time in the day.
No, there really isn't. Although I do manage to lay around and do nothing and spend all my time watching TV.
In defense of that, there was plenty of time today for me to buy batteries. In fact, I was at the store and I looked at the batteries and thought it would be a good idea to get those as backup.
I do that all the time. And then I think that's the first thought. That's my responsible adult thought. And my next thought is, I'll do it later. It'll be fun later is like the reasoning.
Yeah.
I'll go to the store later. It'll be fun.
Yeah, you'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah. As opposed to, you're 20 minutes late for everything. You're just adding something onto your to-do list.
That's me. I put things off. That's how I function.
Yeah, me too. It feels good.
It does feel good.
So you know, I had breakfast with Greg Behrendt this morning.
Oh, yes. How's Greg?
He's great.
Uh-huh.
He's done with chemotherapy.
Good.
I don't know if anyone out there knows Greg Behrendt, who's our very good friend and co-comedian and podcaster and all those things.
One of the many friends of ours with cancer currently. It's getting very frustrating, that disease. But what did he say?
He wants to do our podcast.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, I'm so excited. He wants to do it very soon, so.
I would love it. I would love it.
He said, you guys drive me somewhere. And I said, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll take him anywhere.
Yeah. But that was nice to see him, and to see him, he looks like himself. He seems like he's back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing sets around and stuff.
That's terrific. That makes me happy.
That's the only thing I did today was go. I actually am doing things in my life now where it's like I'm acting like going and meeting people for coffee is like something to check off a list.
Yeah.
Or like I've accomplished something.
Well, as long as you have a bit of a schedule, it feels like, hey, I'm still working. Right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I miss my free time. I'm working right now, and it takes some getting used to. You know, waking up, not doing the things that you usually do.
Yep. Or whatever you want to do.
It's all, and all these rich people always say this, like it's a Donald Trumpy thing to say, just sleep less. There's this montage of like advice from Arnold Schwarzenegger that I was listening to for some reason. And one of them was like, you'll have plenty of, I'm not going to do his voice.
Good.
Plenty of time to sleep when you die. That's what he said. And I'm like, really? That's, but if you think about it, I mean, I guess you have an edge on people if you've only had 5 hours sleep, but then you have baggy eyes and you're not going to nail that meeting, right?
I mean, who knows? That, like, you know, that guy can do whatever he wants. First of all, you know he's sleeping as much as he wants to. He's rich.
Yeah.
None of the rules apply to that guy.
I think he's just talking early on, and he's talking just about lifting weights.
Yeah, because if you're filled with other people's testosterone and a human growth hormone, then yeah, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Do you think he was injecting other people's growth hormones?
I'd like to think that.
I'd like to imagine it.
I mean, I want a hero.
I need a hero.
I'm looking out for a hero.
I've been holding on for a hero. Till the end of the night.
Scratcher. All right. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But I think I found it.
Okay.
This has been... I mean...
A goose chase.
It's been wild. It's also hard to look at my phone map and podcast and drive.
Yes. Our podcast comes with dangers that are specific to the... what we've decided to do, which is driving a car while it's very dangerous.
It's
I can't
so
believe
dangerous.
People get in with us.
I know.
And I'm going to just remind Johnny we're heading to him.
Yes.
Yes.
Close by, I think. Yeah, I think so, actually. It's a very strange. This is that part of Los Angeles that is now called Frog Town, but... when I moved here and lived here for 20 years, it was never called anything. And then I had a
hair...
Frogtown is what this little neighborhood coming up is.
Oh, really? I thought it was Elysian Park or something. Maybe it's also called Frogtown.
I don't know where Elysian Park is, but this is Frogtown.
Okay.
And I know because I have a hairdresser here. One of my many ladies around town.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And it's just kind of just this strip.
Yeah, it's hard to know where we're at right now. This city is an intricate serpentine maze of confusing pathways.
It's so true.
Sometimes they're labeled south, sometimes north. Suddenly you're on historic Route 66. You're in the Wild West. You're on a horse. You need water.
You got bit by a scorpion. You got kicked off the set because you used the director's bathroom.
Bam, you're no longer an actual cowboy. You're simply in a Western movie. But we are behind Dodger Stadium. And I think, yeah, Johnny's like downtown-ish, right?
No, we're like, look, we're going down here bit further, and then he's right there.
Oh, he's right here. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's where I was wrong before.
I mean, look.
Who knows where the freeway was taking me before?
Who knows where the time goes? Newell. I'm going left on... Okay.
Okay, great.
Anyway.
I'm very excited for him to be in here. How have you been? What have you been doing, Karen?
Aside from having breakfast with Greg Barrett? That
yes.
That was one of the big ones.
Just today.
Just today. let's see. Going to the movies a lot.
Good. What have you seen?
With
what have
our
you...
podcast friend, April Richardson.
I love April.
AP and I, we saw Straight Outta Compton together.
How was that?
Great.
Okay. I've been only told it's great.
It's great. There's controversy because, you know, it came out that Dr. Dre beat the shit out of his, like, first girlfriend, and there's a lot of stuff about that, which sucks and is very sad. But,
oh, it's in the movie?
No. That was, like, the controversy after the movie came out is they never talk about this. But it's, like, in my opinion, you would have to... It's a whole different movie.
Sorry, we can't have the movie be 4 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, there was plenty to cover anyway. So, but it was great. I mean, that aside, here's what I will say. I really liked, after that, an article came out saying that, you know, this is... They show themselves as being these heroes, but then...
It's okay.
And then they But the truth is that Dr. Dre beat this woman up. And days later, after that article that I read, Dr. Dre came out with a statement apologizing and saying, it's not an excuse, but I was young and didn't have, I wasn't raised well, and I wasn't a man yet. And so I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sorry for what I did. Like, it was this very comprehensive, really, for my, to me, nobody apologizes like that anymore. Yeah. Just immediately comes out and says, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Right. And it's not an excuse, but I did it, but I'm, you know.
Yeah, if only our past presidents could have the, you know, could act more like gangster rappers.
Yeah, or like, I just think that's a very manly thing to do. Sorry, I missed the turn. Very manly to go, you're right. That was a really dark time in my life. And he basically said, like, I try every day to be a better person than who I used to be. And hopefully I'm getting better. I mean, it was very responsible, seemingly, to me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Especially since it was so long ago and he was a kid. I mean, that is, when it comes to excuses, not that there is any for domestic violence. If, when you say, I was 17.
No, I mean, it's, no, you don't hit people, but.
Yeah, kids do. Kids hit each other.
Kids do, and yeah. When you do shit like that, then you apologize. If people go, this was wrong, you go, yep, it was wrong. I mean, that he didn't have to do anything. That's what most people do.
Well.
It's a little further.
He's under a grapefruit tree.
We don't know what that means, Johnny.
Yeah.
Is this a grapefruit tree?
I don't know. It looks
there
like
he is.
It bears fruit. There he is. Outside corner. Here we
Hi.
Go.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, Johnny. Sorry.
Hi, Johnny.
We got a little turned around,
Sorry.
Buddy.
Sorry.
Got a little turned around.
We were on several freeways.
You did?
Here's your mic.
LA is a great big freeway.
Johnny Pemberton, everybody.
Johnny Pemberton!
Yeah.
Should have called me.
It's so hard. It's so hard while we're, because we're talking, we're trying to podcast.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Meanwhile, we're getting, we just keep getting lost.
How long have you been lost for?
All our lives.
12 minutes.
12 minutes. That's not too bad.
No.
It wasn't awful.
How are you? What's up?
You know, I was just standing under that grapefruit tree.
When you said grapefruit tree, you acted as if everyone knows what a grapefruit tree looks like. I did not grow up in an orchard.
Neither did I, but usually when you see a tree that has a bunch of big yellow fruit on it.
Right, that was the giveaway, is the actual fruit in the tree?
You got it.
I should have noticed. What part of town? Now, I thought it was Elysian Park.
It's Elysian Valley, technically.
It is technically. But have you heard the phrase Frogtown?
Yes.
Yeah, you're in Frogtown, buddy.
Do you buy into that?
Well, it's not, but it is, that's what it's called.
You smell like grapefruits. I'm not kidding.
No way, really?
Yeah.
I think because I just kicked one with my foot.
Oh.
Oh, God.
And it was decomposed.
Your foot reeks of healthy breakfast.
Johnny, do you want to tell me the fastest way to get to?
Take a left.
Okay.
It's like Uber.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Because they never know where they're going.
It's amazing. Sometimes they hire people like, have you never driven before? Well, here's a great chance to learn how to drive. Here's your chance to learn on the job. Why spend that time learning to drive when you can get paid to learn to drive?
Yes.
That's what their ad should be. Get paid to learn to drive with Uber.
Yeah. And everyone that you'll be picking up, it's likely that they know how to drive, so they can give you tips as you careen into a wall. Tips like, oh, my God, stop. Or tips like, please, where are you taking us?
I had an Uber driver that asked me to teach him how to use Waze.
Wow.
That's pretty meta.
We had an Uber who used Waze so much that he was like not seeing the forest for the trees kind of thing. like, oh, it says there's traffic in front of me when there is none. But like, but Waze says there's traffic right here. But
yeah.
There are no cars. It's completely misinformed. I'll take a right.
Take that right.
Yeah, it's amazing how many of those guys, driving professionals, are not familiar with Waze, the app that has saved my life.
Waze has saved your life?
I mean, it's got, I don't know if it's saved my life, but it's got me on time to many things.
Yeah. I'm tired of driving. I'm done with it.
It's pretty irritating.
It is.
It is.
What a thing, huh? What a shitty thing that we do as people.
Yeah.
Like, what a non-human thing to engage in so regularly.
Driving?
Yeah, I think it makes us bad.
People agreed.
We're not designed for it.
Yeah, no, we aren't. If we were, that would be amazing.
Like, yeah, we'd have terrible bodies.
Yeah, we'd just be so awkward in the bedroom.
Big hands. Gross. Wraparound eyes.
Wraparound eyes.
Also, it's very isolating. Like, when I get in my car, I just, like, I get all in my head, and then I get, like, like we're saying, like, running through problems.
Right.
It makes me defensive in a way that I don't like feeling that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't talk to this person that way if I saw him on the street, but I'm being a terrible person to the stranger.
Yep.
Really, it's like, if we saw each other, we'd probably, like, make up and cry and be like, I'm so sorry, too. Why did I do that?
Why did I call you that?
Oh, my God. We're just people. We're just in the simulation together.
This is all simulation.
It is. It probably is, right? Isn't that? I think they've pretty much proven it probably is a simulation.
That we're living in a Truman Show situation?
Well, not like that. Not like so much a human orchestrated simulation, but probably some sort of advanced beings or future us has created this. Look at this asshole.
Look at that guy.
Look at that fucking cum guzzler.
And you, and that's something you probably wouldn't say to that cum guzzler's face.
Oh, God. Smashing asshole.
I
got a car alarm.
Thanks a lot, you guzzler.
You know what, you stupid sea guzz? Get that fucking car alarm off.
I knew he is a West Coast sea guzzler.
Kiss my freaking jack, you stupid sea guzz.
I think the idea of it being a simulation makes me feel so much better about my tax problem.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because it's really not real, right?
It's not real.
Neither is money, right? I mean, I read some book that said that's how you should think about money. Remember, it's not real.
Yeah. We're globs of cells and atoms just being hurled through a universe that may or may not be here.
Right.
Right? Am I right about that?
I love it.
Am I right, ladies?
Ladies, back me up. And men, take a breather in this universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, you want to take a back seat this next... ladies have the chorus this go around.
Yeah, it's time for some estrogen.
Let's hear the ladies' voices out there.
Joni, can we talk for 1 second about the character that you did at the Echoes Under Sunset show?
Sure.
I saw you where Joni was the lead singer of a blues band.
Well, he's really a dentist.
Oh,
I mean, that's what he does for a living. He's a dentist.
He's a dentist, but he
father, a divorcee.
And he also was promoting the Van Nuys Blues Festival.
Yeah, it's Blues and Barbecue Fest. The annual Van Nuys Blues and Barbecue Fest.
And is this a real fest or just one thing?
No. I mean, it probably is actually. There probably is one.
Probably. It seemed very real.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up at those kind of shit festivals. That's all we had.
But he had a lot of barbecue sauce on his face because he had just enjoyed some ribs, and he was just telling everybody about the Blues Fest. Oh, and then you sang a riffed blues song.
Yeah, I sang a blues song. He just one of those kind of those dads, you know, those conservative Midwestern dads. A lot of money to buy, like, expensive guitars that don't get played kind of thing. That's just how I grew up with everyone. That's the people I grew up with.
Yeah.
People, oh, we're going on to the Blues Fest. It's going to be, I might have a couple beers. Might really get a little crazy down there. Yeah, Coco Taylor, they flew her in. Probably paid her, they paid her 40 grand. And she, we're happy to have her, though. She's great. Coco did a few songs and she's out of there. But she's real talented.
And was it Robert Cray was the other
Robert
name you
Cray, yeah. I was trying to think of his name. That's who my mom always saw at the Top Hat.
Exactly.
I can't believe you pulled Robert Cray out. That's who my mom always... She loved Robert Cray.
Yeah. Dude, Robert Cray is the best worst. He is the worst. He is like everything the blues wanted to not be, but so good at it at the same time.
But really excellent. He's been around for a while,
too.
Is he a blues guitarist?
He's a blues guitarist. He's really good.
Does he make faces? I like how blues guitarists make faces.
Oh, yeah.
The faces you would make while masturbating.
Well, you got
blues guitar. Yeah, you got to feel it.
They are masturbating.
You got to wince while smiling when that note hits where it needs to be.
There's a Steve Vai video called Tender Surrender from like sometime in the 90s. He is dripping in sweat. His guitar has like it's a very much a custom personal guitar, but it's like 6 minutes of... It should be flagged for inappropriate. Like, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. But it's so sensual. He is masturbating with his guitar. 100% masturbating. He's playing the guitar as though he was playing his penis in like this long, drawn-out, personal, celebratory masturbation ritual.
Oh,
just
that's...
like is stroking it ever so gently and speeding it up. And then just like does this little tap. And like, oh, my God. It's so great.
My Henry... was pals with Johnny Lang, that who's like was a young blues,
a young Robert Cray.
Yeah, yeah, shit. And we went, we were on the road somewhere. It was like 10 years ago, and we went to a concert, and he was making those faces. But he's young. He
Johnny Lang was good at that.
Yeah, and he had a, but he had an old guitar. So it, to me, it was very pedophilic. He was like making love to this old guitar.
Lord, and he's just a kid. Lie to me.
Yeah, and then someone would play like, and then he'd go with his mouth go, bam, bam, like singing along to it.
Yeah,
they sing along to guitars.
I think that's a thing that happens if you've been playing an instrument for about, I think about 4 or 5 years. You realize there's this intonation that happens where you know you can probably do this, Karen, right? You can sing what you play pretty much perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But you get that, you look at the intonation, and when you first learn that, the intonation becomes addictive to the point of like annoying. It's really annoying because you can do it. It's like, oh, I can, I, without thinking, I can sing the same note I'm playing because I just know the intonation of the instrument. And it's like, now I'm annoying as fuck for the next year until I get over that ability.
It's actually, the blues are kind of super nerdy, and I think everyone's scared to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that kind of stuff, like what you just described of someone, like, basically scatting with a guitar, embarrasses me so badly to think about watching.
Unless it's on stage and it's part of a show, I can watch it. But if you're at a party, and it could be the most talented person in the world, if they start playing guitar and singing along to the guitar, which I've seen in Austin, that's every other party in Austin. Someone's playing hacky sack and their friend is singing along to the guitar. I get really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something about me. Maybe it's something...
It's like improv.
Yeah. I get really uncomfortable when I watch improv.
I like bad improv. Bad improv is... Like, that's how Christ was actually crucified. It was forced to participate in an improv show that was going south immediately, and he just...
That's how
Christ died for our sins, and our sins are learning improv.
Are several suggestions.
Right.
But also I think it's the vulnerability of that. People being so happy to be that vulnerable, whereas comedians, that's the last thing we want to do. Like, that kind of like, hey, let's just see if I do good, everybody.
Holy shit. I wish that's how I still felt when I did stand up, but I do not want that. I want that variable to be
a variable.
I want that to be the one thing I know.
Yeah.
Is that I have control over the situation.
To not be variable, yeah.
I let go. I've been letting go a lot lately.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On stage?
Yeah. I just don't care.
Well, you're always, you've been in we both share this quality. I'm going to call it a quality. We're very loosey-goosey on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loose as a goose you are. I've seen you.
I mean, I'm like a gander up there.
You are like a... You're just like...
I'm a GD gander.
Looking for a pond, or maybe not. Maybe you'll just lead your children across a busy road.
Maybe I'll do a touch and go. You thought I was landing on that pond. Nope.
Oh, he's out.
Just testing the water with my goose feet.
Maybe you'll find a big chunk of bread and hang out for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And eat it in that really disgusting way where you choke it back and you snap it, you grab it, and you throw your head forward to get it down the gullet.
Yeah,
it looks
so painful when geese eat. Just sideways bread.
You can tell they have an eating disorder of some kind.
Oh, so many geese binge and purge. And
those gizzard stones. Picking up a couple gizzard stones along the way. You know what those are?
Some sort of a stomach within a bird that helps them eat rocks.
Certain birds, they'll eat a rock, a couple rocks.
Yeah,
goes in their gizzard and they helps pulverize the shit they eat.
Oh.
One of the my dad, the only time he ever went to the hospital, I think maybe he didn't, but he thought he was dying, and he's ignored actual signs of health problems.
Right.
He ate a bunch of almonds, and like a whole bag of them. Like it was a time where he's single, I think. He just,
oh my God, that's a great detail.
I could make dinner, or I could eat this bag of nuts. And it
bag of nuts.
They bound up inside him to the point where he's in so much pain. And then the doctor said that they were caught in some sort of a provincial, I don't know, some what used to be a gizzard in a human. And I don't know if that's what the appendix is, or there is. They said it's not stuck in your stomach; it's in your. And I wish I knew what it was.
It's not in your esophagus, is it? Is there a gizzard-like thing?
It was some sort of a gizzard, and nuts get caught in there. And
some sort of
is
gizzard.
Is it a spleen?
Maybe it's the spleen.
Because you can lose your spleen, right? And
I think you're right.
But
I think
the spleen, the food doesn't go through the spleen. The spleen
It filters things, and I think that sometimes there's nuts in your blood.
Could it go through there? Special occasion, Johnny. Could it go through there?
I would say no. But
what if you're on a roller coaster and you're really being jostled about?
Maybe like on the Gravitron or something.
Other device.
That was the part of the story I left out as my dad was at the State Fair all day. He was just on the zipper.
They were deep fried almonds. My dad used to always have a bag of almonds in his hand, and he'd offer them, shake them at you to offer them to you, and then go, nature's candy.
Wow.
And
cool that dad.
Yeah.
Super cool. My dad
used to eat pork rinds dipped in Merck's cheddar cheese product.
Ooh.
This was back when he was, this was pre-Atkins.
Yeah.
This was an Atkins diet.
Oh, that
no carb diet.
Wait, your dad invented the Atkins diet? It sounds like
he used to be really fat. He was. Oh. I think it was called the T factor diet. But he lost a bunch of weight, and part of that losing that weight was eating hot dogs, no buns, and a lot of pork rinds dipped in cheese.
Wow.
Yeah, you go protein.
Yeah.
You can
and
have fat. Like
he
protein
knew
and
to
fat.
Do that.
Yeah.
Because your dad's a Mayo Clinic, isn't he? A Mayo Clinic.
He is.
Like a surgeon, right?
He's a surge.
Wow.
I talked to him on the phone once, Johnny.
That's right.
Recommend. I was having some bleeding issues, and I mentioned these already at the top of the show. But his dad was he was calming. He gave me some information. He led me to one of his friends who works here in Los Angeles. I went, and that guy stuck his whole arm in my butt.
Oh, man.
Numerous times, sometimes just in front of his golf buddies. But no, come on. They were doctors. A lot of people were in the room, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I had that experience one time where I went in and I had a procto, you know, just checking out the zone down there.
Sure, yeah, you gotta check the zone.
Zone it out.
There was this woman who I think she was an intern. She was, you know, probably like in her like late 20s.
Like your age, yeah.
Yeah, my age, but just stunningly beautiful with my doctor. And I was like, oh, great, here we go. I met her literally 20 seconds prior to that. And now I'm just taking my pants off and having Dr. Phil. His name's, I'm not going to say his last name, but his name is Phil. But he just, you know, went ahead and did that real fast and just was.
That's so funny. The last time I went in to get a camera in my urethral opening, which is your pee-pee hole, very painful. I bit on the bill of my hat. And,
did he give you anything for that?
Some local anesthetic, but
Jeez,
the guy
Chris.
Took, he was with another patient for like 20 minutes. I knew it had worn off. I'm like, it feels normal again. Please don't go in there. But he went in and. Cut out a tumor or something. I was fine. I was benign. I feel great today. But there was a young girl in there, and man, she could have been at a party or something. And she was just looking at my legs were in the air. It was it was everything. My penis was there and my part of my butt. And then she's looking right at it. My taint. What do you call the taint?
I think you call it
probably the taint, right?
It is called the perineum.
She just had a bird's eye of my perineum. And, oh, God, it was...
Get a photo in front of that. Definitely, you idiot.
Yeah. He wouldn't say that if we weren't in the car right now.
I would, actually.
That guy was an idiot. He had shaved sides, Skrillex hair.
That guy looked like a guru for a religion that does not exist.
he also looked like Skinny Fat Jew. Which we decided we weren't going to say that name because it is...
Yeah.
Kind of racist.
I said it.
I
really
feel like that whole thing is kind of an excuse for certain people to say the word fat Jew.
Yeah,
hey,
for real.
Do you guys remember, because he's famous for having Twitter followers, wasn't it somewhere in like 3 million or something?
Who, that guy?
Yeah, the fat Jew guy.
I think he's Instagram guy. His Twitter thing is not that.
Okay.
His Twitter game is weak.
Okay. Because that it's hard to just, I guess, actually it would be easy to cut and paste words. But
yeah.
I notice he is down to 200,000. I'm like, well, that's no longer...
That thing was, that's one of those things where the story is the thing.
Yeah.
Like it's not a story. The story is that it's a story.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there's basically nothing exists.
Yeah. The whole story is here's this guy. His name is hard to say because it's offensive and he stole. The end.
It's a black hole.
It is.
It's
like
this black hole.
The only, the additional is just he started making serious money
off
of the stealing.
That's why,
when people care.
That's when people step up.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I mean, like, because you can catch people and get people here and there, but people will just be like, hey, man. But this guy's, like, literally building a career. It's hilarious.
That stuff always, you always get, the piper always comes to take his payment.
To roost.
You know that saying?
Yeah.
The piper comes for his payment eventually.
Yeah, the piper knocks hard.
In a long enough timeline, we all exist for no time or something. What's the...
Yeah, no,
it's
I think
a flash.
You got... No, it's a long like saying, and we never hear it in its entirety, but right. The piper comes to pay the rooster, and we're only here for a little while.
We're only here for a little while.
Yeah.
That sounds like George Carlin, right?
I wish. I wish I could sound like
him. We're only here for a little while. Oh, and it's nice to be here. But the thing, I'm going to wrap it up, and yes, and I love you. Here we are. Bye.
What are you going to do at tonight's comedy concert,
Johnny? I
don't
know, man.
Are you going to... It sounds like you're going to be loosey-goosey.
I'm trying to lock some stuff down because I'm doing this show on Tuesday that I'm going to record for an album.
Oh, that's great. Where are you doing that at?
The Nerd Melt.
Oh, everyone. I knew you were doing a Presents Nerd Melt comedy.
Yeah.
Johnny Pemberton. I think that's what it's called exactly.
It is. I'm trying to milk it for all it's worth recording it, the audio.
That's great. Good idea. So you're going to have a comedy album.
Maybe. I think I'm going to have some comedy album. I'm planning on only taking a little part of it because I don't want to put that kind of pressure on myself. God forbid I should put pressure on myself.
You know,
perform stand-up.
No one's gonna know this if it's a compilation of shows that become
That's
your
true.
Whole album.
You're right.
That's what everyone doesn't realize. Mm-hmm. You could record 10 times, compile it together, and it'll just be a novelty. It doesn't need to be all at once.
What do you think you're gonna name that album, Johnny? What are some ideas?
I mean, I've probably thought in the past couple years the names for over 1,000 different album titles.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear
That's
some.
What I think about. I kind of thought about the words hybrid vigor, but that has nothing to do with anything in my stand-up. It's just a phrase that I like.
Yep.
I like that.
Has to do with plants that are hybridized and they grow much better because of something called hybrid vigor.
Yeah.
I just think it's a funny phenomenon. All the other ones I thought of were just really bad and they don't make any sense. I don't know what I want. I don't honestly don't know. What should I call it?
You never know.
Under the grapefruit tree.
I was told by the label to just name my album Fairbanks.
Right.
They just said your name is good enough of a name. But the title I was going to go with was something I just said during the show, which was I got mad at them for clapping at a joke I don't like, and I said, look at me being disappointed with your enjoyment. I thought disappointed with your enjoyment
would have been
a good title, and I was going to go with it. So it came after.
You can always another time.
Yeah, I say.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You can look out for something that you say during.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and afterwards, when you're listening, be like, yep, that was a fun moment. I'm naming it that.
How about shit dogs in a dynamite field?
Well, maybe just say that during the show if there's a place for you to say that. I wouldn't just blurt it as non sequitur because you then planned to call it that. That's working backwards.
I thought about calling it the whatever the spectrum of sound the frequency of the human voice, the sound range of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just call it that.
Whatever that's called.
Yeah, I think it's like 50 hertz is as low as I think you can go, and then like whatever, I don't know.
Why don't you call it the frequency of the human sound?
It's frequency of human sound.
With
maybe
Amy
call
Schumer.
It
Jesus Christ.
I'll call it person, I'll call it Death in a Crosswalk, maybe. how about this for an album title? I left my child in a hot car. I left my child in my car in the summer in Texas. People be running to grab that, huh?
Yeah. And he's here with me tonight.
I hold it with me every day.
And you just...
And still, I've come here to tell you jokes.
And you're holding a melted candle.
Yep.
Oh, God. Poor kid.
Actually, I did think of an album title.
It's not funny. It happens in real life.
It does.
We apologize to you and the fat Jew.
But that's why it's funny. It's because it's so terrible. It's so
deeply horrifying.
Look, like... City buses. The hooligans of the streets.
Yeah.
Oh, did you need us to stop for
no
reason?
Are you late for your soccer game?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Bus Driver, the guy that works for the city. Bullies of the city, that's what I
call. Bullies of the city? That's disrespectful to pub trans, man.
Yeah, I know.
I respect pub trans.
Pub
I
trans. There's not that much of it.
They're up
I
there
used to
with
live
our...
this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't hear that often. It's changed.
This neighborhood has changed?
That's something I'm so tired of people saying.
I know.
Man, this neighborhood sure has changed. Oh, really? What was it supposed to do?
Is the word hipster? Is the word hipster about to come up? Yeah, because hipster. I'm going to plug my ears.
What was this neighborhood used to be a different way than it is now, actually. Mm-hmm. See that place that's there? It wasn't there before. I hate this place. The way they do that thing where things change over time. God damn it.
Yeah. I hate it.
Don't they know about me? Didn't they know about me that I used to live here and would like to reference this place to people who don't care?
Why do situations always have to evolve?
Why does time have to progress? God damn it. I was trying to do something here. I had a thing going, and then time started, you know, the march of time carried on, and now there's a fucking CVS.
Oh, great.
This neighborhood used to be hip. Now there's a CVS.
It used to be a good neighborhood back when I was 30. Now,
used to be edgy.
You know what's wrong with this neighborhood now? I'm 40.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Now, I'm 40.
That's the best joke. We drive my cousin's wife. My cousin and my sister all live in my hometown. Right. And we all still call all the buildings what they were when we were growing up. So there's like a restaurant that we call Tuttle's, which used to be the drugstore the restaurant is now in.
Mm-hmm.
Like we reference things as if the town is still 1981.
Right.
And it drives her insane because she knows it as what it is now. Right. So yeah. We'll be like, over at the one over at Tuttle's? And like it's truly 30 years. It's like a 30-year span.
But
that
you
we
can't.
Are.
Your brain just knows it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
We just, that's, yeah, it's just childhood.
Yeah. There's been a place in Missoula, Montana called the Iron Horse that's been there most of my life, probably 30 years.
Iron Horse.
But I still call it a Hamburger Ace because there was a Hamburger Ace there. That's where everyone went to fight. And,
fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, you go to Hamburger Ace to fight.
After school?
Yeah, just other schools.
Missoula, Montana.
Sure.
Yeah, your school against their school.
Like whole groups of kids fighting?
Yeah. Oh, entire large groups fighting,
yes.
Wearing batting gloves.
Not me.
Meet you at Hamburger Ace. Five cars show up, another five cars show up, and then everyone starts punching each other.
Shit.
I've never been in a fight.
Ever in your whole life?
Ew, never. So underrated, Johnny.
I believe it probably is.
All I know is getting punched in the face isn't as bad as you think. That's the only wisdom.
Well, they usually don't land, right? Like, if people are trying to hit you, they're all freaked out themselves.
I've let punches hit me right in the center of the nose.
Yeah?
And I was still able to keep talking. But I wasn't... These were kids, you know?
Yeah.
A grown-up now, what people do with the MMA and...
The jaw hits.
And just being larger than people are. In Montana, no one's over 5'9". I don't know what
really?
It is.
That's
it's our
strange.
Cow. Yeah, everyone's
the
short.
Opposite. I thought you had some big ones out
yeah,
there.
No,
thought...
I moved to Texas, and I'm like, oh, everyone would kill me if I got punched here.
What's up, Chris? You coming in here? I'm a big old boy. I'm a Texas big old one.
You don't want to meet me at the Hamburger Ace.
Chris, you want to give me back that cocaine I sold you?
Oh, God, you're bringing...
Back right now.
You are bringing back a specific memory.
I'm going to fuck you up, old boy.
Yep, I bought some rowdy powder down there on 6th Street, and I was right near the Velveeta room, and I'll be goddamned if I grabbed too much and I didn't pay the man.
Oh,
you cut the shit wrong. You know, you know Rob Anderson? You know Rob, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you live there at the same time as him? As him?
As Rob? No.
Okay.
No.
But I worked with Rob Anderson on Whitney Cummings' right. talk show. I just ate breakfast with him the other day.
No way.
I didn't even live there, and I always think I did. I did not live there at the same time as Howard Kramer or Chip Pope either. They had left.
Oh.
They used to visit all the time, but they were already L.A. superstars.
Austin Stories.
Yeah.
Yep. That was... It's, you can watch it on YouTube.
Howard Kramer, Chip Pope. Some of the Matt first
Bearden.
Comedians I saw ever in Los Angeles.
Laura really? House.
Yep. Laura House, too. Yep.
Me, too. I was just sharing with Karen. That's what we were going to call this podcast.
Thank God we didn't.
I have a story for my friend. Her name is Karen.
Karen.
Thank God we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's call that. Let's call that your album. I wish I hadn't.
Thank God we didn't. That is good.
I didn't think about calling
Oopsie.
It
that's not right.
A candle with hair. Which is a splinterism for handle with care.
Well, that brings us back to the melted baby in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no.
When you first said that, I didn't say speak up. But I
yeah. Oh,
up
wow.
And
you're going to be like, are you in my brain?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Collective consciousness.
But wait, candle why did you bring up Rob Anderson? Sorry to...
Yeah.
Because he used to live in Austin, and I know he used to get down with some crazy shit back
oh,
in
yeah.
Austin
yeah.
days, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, easy, too. It's easy to get caught up there.
I think they've got a nice underbelly there.
Yeah, it's just easy access to it.
Yeah.
It's not a dark underbelly. It's like a well-lit easy to access underbelly.
Just kind of an option.
And the whole city there is geared around having fun.
Yeah, so
and
it's fine.
People drink, they have beers in their offices. You work at, everyone is
LA's
waking
so much
up late.
More conservative than other towns like that size.
Isn't that funny? No one expects that.
Yeah.
We are done partying at 1:30.
Like
go to bed.
Minneapolis is crazy. Austin's crazy. What else is fucking crazy? It's like a lot of crazy cities.
Yeah, I imagine like anywhere in Florida.
Winnipeg's insane.
Really?
Was it?
No.
Oh, I think Winnipeg is like, all right, well, we drank all that one. Let's go sit down for a little bit here.
Let's calm down now.
Well, let's see what your mom's up to.
Of course, call her over.
Okay, well, it's been an hour. Let's check in on Mom. I guess I'll tuck in one more of these Molsons, and then I'll be off to bed. You know what? If you stay up when the sun's not up, you're liable to something bad to happen.
There were a lot of very soft-spoken men that were actively listening to me in Winnipeg, which was very... I was like, this is great. I love it. Like, a waiter who would be like... I can't really explain it. It was just like people who were just like wanted to know what you had to say.
Doesn't that feel great?
It's pretty great.
Certain cities are like that.
What do you think about our city now?
Oh, yeah. Would you like to talk about it? It gets cold, though.
Yes, it does get cold.
It gets
cold. We manage.
I really want to go to Winnipeg now.
It's pretty great. I really liked it. But it is the second coldest city in the world, someone told me.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think it would have to be way up north.
Maybe a city of the certain size it is, because like there's certain places that are just so cold they're not cities.
That's the reason
there. No one lives there, and they're just an area.
Yeah, we can't do a city here, guys. It's too cold. We're trying to do a city, but
there aren't enough mittens in the world, guys. Let's call it.
Let's keep this a township.
Let's just keep on moving down the. The path.
We're calling it. All right, we're calling it officially. The time is 1600 hours. This is not a city.
Okay,
we're
let's
out,
go.
Guys.
All
let's
right,
go.
We're done.
We tried to settle this. We're going to keep on moving.
We're going to head west.
Toward the heat lamp. I mean sun.
Got to get to Miami.
Do they still call the sun a heat lamp in Canada?
That's like an inside joke.
Oh, yes, they do.
It's the height of comedy to them.
I'm hungry all the time.
Are you? Are you hungry right now?
Of course.
Of course you are.
Oh, I'm awake.
What's your favorite snack, Johnny?
Oh, God. Chips.
Yeah.
I love chips.
What about just chips and salsa, like a regular
chips and salsa.
Yeah,
definitely.
Me too.
God, nachos.
You bet.
Any type of flavored chips. Mm-hmm. Cheetos are really good.
I love Cheetos.
You have to.
But I mean, like puffy or crunchy?
Crunchy.
Crunchy always.
I like the small ones because they have the most dust.
Yeah. Concentrate.
I want to get dust. I want to be elbows deep in dust.
I think I may be hungover. You know, sometimes when I'm hungover, I like, it's just I have this insatiable thirst and hunger.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. It's like being a junkie or something, but for nothing.
Yeah. Where's the fun? Where's the fun in this?
I haven't been drinking a whole lot lately, but I did drink a couple of beers last night.
Oh, some Molson's?
No, I had a couple of these beers. This company called, I have one of the best beers I've had in many years from The Strand, which is a brewery, I think, in someplace in the east of L.A. I can't remember what it's. Torrance. It's in Torrance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just stout. It was really good. I drank a couple of them. We were out to dinner with my girlfriend's brother, his birthday.
Mm.
Drank some of his beers, and I ended up going to sleep at about 10:30 last night.
Beers, that's what I'm not a big beer guy. It knocks me out. What happened?
I also drank a bottle of wine.
Oh, see, it's the wine that did it.
Drank a nice bottle of a white of Sauvignon Blanc.
Ah.
God, a good Sav Black.
God, just you describing it, I can almost...
The refreshing appleness.
The word refreshing came to mind.
Grassy?
Oh.
Green apple?
Just like a knoll with an unknown shooter. That's how I like my wine.
Wait now, is mixing wine and beer fine?
I think everything's fine.
It's not. Okay.
No, there are all these sayings like, liquor then beer, never sicker, beer before liquor, you're in the clear, whatever.
Wine's not
all
liquor,
you have
right?
to do is be a drunk.
Beer and wine, you're
all
totally
you have to
fine.
Do is practice with all these things.
Oh, I see.
The thing that'll get you hungover is the damn sugar.
The sugar and the three wise men shot you did at the closing of the bar. That'll do it to you.
What's that?
Yeah,
what's
three wise
men?
Something I did when I first turned 21 that I'll never do ever again. I think it's a shot of Jack, Jose Cuervo, and some other man's name who's a liquor?
Dan McNeil.
Dan McNeil brand single malt. The cheapest single malt available.
Is it Captain Morgan?
It's probably that. It's probably Captain Jack and Hulk Jose.
And Hulk Hogan.
Them, and it's just guaranteed to make you vomit.
Captain Jack will get you high tonight.
Boo.
Right? That's what that song's about, is two-thirds of that drink.
Crappin' snaps. Snap crappers.
I do love whiskey, though. That was my drink. I mean, the effects are A+.
Yeah, they really work. Whiskey works.
I'm a Stones
works.
Guy.
You're a what guy?
I'm more into Stones, the Rolling Stones.
Oh.
I think I got confused with liquor. Oh, they're talking about music. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm drunk right now.
Are you talking about liquor? Ah, they're talking about music. Sorry.
Well, where? Yeah. I mean, we're close.
I drive a Mazda.
Here's the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely here. We've been here.
Are you guys worried about
the
stuff?
Well, we can.
I mean, here's the time right now. It's 8:12.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you guys nervous about
My sound check is at 8:30.
Oh, what time is the
show? And the show starts at 9.
Oh, I thought it started at 8.
No, guys.
See,
don't know.
I made you think it was 8 because I said 7.
I'm about to relax right now.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, we can take it easy.
Just kick
back. I got to a show on time the other night, only for it to start almost an hour and something after.
I don't like it when that happens.
That's such a bummer.
I think I'm officially done with that. It's the last time I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Be on time?
No, now if I'm on time, it's not starting. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah.
Because fuck you.
I do that too. If I'm on time, I'm like, I got to go, and I'll just go somewhere and walk around. I don't like being on time.
I really hate being on time. And I know it's because it's my diva-ish personality where I don't want to be the one waiting. I want someone else to wait for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes if you're the one on time, you go up first. If it's one of these shows where everyone's an equal.
I like going up first.
Third?
I love going up first.
Oh, first.
Really?
First, I think it's one of the best spots you can do.
Boy, I just disagree with you.
Really?
I'll second. I love second.
I'll tell you why. Second's good, but first is great because it's like you get to do whatever you want.
But the crowd's not—they're not warm. There's no way around that.
I'll warm them up.
Well, yeah, you're sacrificing the first half of your set to warm them up. No, right away.
First half of my set is warm up.
How do you warm them up right away?
He's ready for calisthenics, physical.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do actual exercise.
Yeah, I get in them. I get down and go under the chair.
Yep.
You know, like. Force someone to move really nicely.
Yeah.
Just really get in there. Really get the scrum.
I suppose, if you got them to get up and walk around and actually warm up their bodies, that would help.
Yeah. Then it's on them.
It's totally on them.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why you're not enjoying? You're lazy.
You know what's better than, it's always worse than first.
What?
Last. Last really? Is the worst.
I think last in Los Angeles, when it's clearly not, you're not the quote-unquote headliner.
Right.
I love when people do that. Like, all right, you're a headliner tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who's going up last.
Yeah, we've seen 12
comedy
people. Everyone's left.
Everyone's drunk.
Everyone screamed at the top of their lungs
you're
for
right.
an hour and a half.
I think you're right. I think last is the first
it's
worst.
It's terrible.
And first is the second last.
It happens to us a lot because we're a music act, which I don't blame anybody for. Right. It's like, that
oh,
sucks.
The setup and the breakdown.
Yeah. So we go last, but it's like we just go out there and there's just, it's like getting to a party late and going over to the buffet. It's just like, oh, there's some old salami. Maybe you'll find some cookies from Trader Joe's that weren't open. This metaphor is very extended, but
pickens.
Yeah, it's pickens. And it's people that are like, there's nothing worse than comedy fatigue, where they're kind of like, they wish they could laugh and they just can't do it because they've been milked.
Do you feel like you're going last tonight, either of you?
I get last. I don't think I'm going to go last. Lately, I just basically, I've been speaking my mind.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, here's what I want.
It works great.
Do you say it like that?
People love it when you communicate.
Here's what I want.
Here's what I want. if you can make that happen for me, I'd love it.
Perfect.
If you can't, I won't complain.
It's you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to hear what you want.
They
you
do.
Have to speak
they
up.
I always do want to hear what
I always
want.
Just think people know what I want and they're not going to give it to me. I have an argument. Nothing has happened. I argue with them about it. We're mad.
In your head,
we make up, and then I take my spot. And none of that has actually happened. It's all in my brain.
That is a weird thing that people do that I do, too, is have the pre-argument. You've already decided the situation will be worthy of a fucking argument, and then you argue, and then the situation thing happens, and nothing happens whatsoever.
Yeah.
Slightly antagonistic. It's like the most calm thing ever.
I do it so often, and I do it in a way where it makes me act weird in a way that really can't be explained or faked out. You know what I mean? Like when you're expecting a certain exchange.
Yeah,
and you prepared for a very specific exchange.
Sorry, I'm just popping a beer here.
Yeah, that's not cool.
It's bad magic is what it is.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like this magic. It's a negative magic. It's negative. The magic of negativity.
You're shutting down the impossibilities.
Yeah, you're creating an outcome you don't want by imagining it happening.
Yeah.
As opposed to the opposite. We're like, oh, it's going to be great when Sharon picks me up and she's super happy because we love each other and there's this new dog that's going to be there.
Yeah. I do that, and we've talked about this. I do that with bad things. If you think the worst, what are the chances it's also going to happen?
Manifesting it.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of people think. I think I'm canceling it out.
Well, I think it's different for me. I think like when I think about how I'm going to die, like I imagine the scenario of death that's going to approaching imminently.
Sure.
Then I feel like that is canceling out that because. I kind of think that if there's any sort of malicious aspect of the universe, it definitely wants to surprise you.
Right,
If it's not able to surprise you, it's like, well, I guess I'll try someone else. Because this guy, he knew what was coming.
Yeah,
he got out ahead of it.
He already put together the combination of trampoline and jetpack.
He figured out my very intricate way of killing him in this particular moment.
The universe has an intricate plan for all of our demises.
Right? Yeah.
So if you think about it all the time, the way in which you'll die.
Yeah.
Like anytime I get into a 15-pass van, I'm like, this is it.
Because I mean,
isn't that how you die? You die in this shitty fucking piece of crap rat trap of a van.
And you see it rolling 90 times down a mountain.
I've thought of that too. Yeah. That's why it made me so sad during the Tracy Morgan thing. It's like, that's such a real horrible way to go.
Yeah, well, that was a limo.
Yeah, well, it was a 15-passenger limo.
They weren't thinking about that.
No, they were having some good times.
If you're not
facing away.
Pass, you think about it, you're like, oh, I'm dying on the way to set.
Like like a super shuttle or one of those white vans?
I always think about on set. Like, if you're on, like, because that's what they shuttle you around on, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's those driven by some union guy who, like, makes nasty comments about some PA's legs.
So,
God.
You think the van's going to tip over just at the studio?
Just something. The guy will, like, look left when he should have been looking right, and some cement truck will just destroy us all. Like,
just two union guys careening into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and also that would be, like, that's the perfect when you've got a job, you're, like, on set. It's supposed to be ideal.
It's supposed to be safe.
That's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's the perfect anticipation.
There's no way of knowing when it's going to happen. It's not healthy to eat. That woman right there is 112. Look at her.
That's an ancient right there. That's a true ancient.
She thought she was going to die in a Corvette wreck in her 30s.
Should we yell at her? Like, move out of LA!
Yes. Yeah. You ruined this neighborhood.
Move home, asshole.
So tired of you people coming
you
out.
You ruined this neighborhood.
Get out of here. God, this neighborhood used to be cool. In this old bag shopping on a Sunday night. This old. Oh, so sad.
Oh.
God.
Oh. I guess I should pull in here, right?
Yeah,
we're
let's
not
do
gonna
it.
Be able to honk.
This is where my car is too.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Did you listen to last episode, my mouth honk?
Was it pretty great?
It sounded like a semi truck.
Let's do it then.
I had to listen to it again. Oh, you'll hear
it's our sign off.
Johnny, you guys.
Johnny, thank you for doing this.
Yeah,
with
thanks
us.
A lot. Sorry we were kinda late, but at least I know where you live now and I know what a grapefruit looks like.
Yeah.
And you guys go in and have yourself an amazing comedy concert.
We will listen to Johnny's podcast, Twisting in the Wind.
Yeah, Twisting the
Wind. Oh, yeah. Anything else you want to plug, Johnny?
Twisting the Wind?
Twisting the Wind on the Feral Audio Network.
Oh,
nice.
I'm going to listen to it.
Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton. There's some improv going on right there. That's cool.
Anything else you got coming up?
You know, just dates and stuff. I'll be in Australia in November with Duncan Trussell. That's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, fun.
Oh, that sounds great.
Hi.
Well, we literally have, we're being pulled from the car. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-U-I-N-A-R. Nice one. Sorry
I did
about
it.
That.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.